Law Focus Podcast. Bringing you the facts. Handing you your rights. This is Law Focus.
Good evening to our listeners. It's exactly 7 o'clock on this first day of the new month and new season. It being the 1st of September, we have just welcomed spring. A rather cold one, I must add. And you are tuned into BioFM broadcasting on 88.1. My name is Millicent Ndiweni, and with me is Tabo Mohapi. Although we have concluded Women's Month, we can never stop embracing women and letting their voices be heard. Yes, I'm representing ladies. Hence, tonight's show features a female candidate attorney who will share her journey in the legal fraternity with us. Thank you for joining us for the next hour. Welcome to Law Focus.
To remind you again that our show aims at dealing with issues relating to legal matters. We're here to inform you about your legal rights, as well as have conversation about current affairs and issues within the legal fraternity. We also like to inspire you by sharing positive and successful experiences of those who've done exceptionally well in the legal profession. Our social media is up and running again, and we really appreciate you engaging with us. The platforms that we're available at the moment are Twitter, and the handle is @VowFM, using the hashtag LawFocus. On Facebook, we are VowFM. For podcasts, you can visit our website, vits.journalism.co.za/law, or the Vits Radio Academy page on IONO. We're also available on Spotify now. Coming up next are our legal hotspots, our hottest legal stories of the week.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week is Legal Hotspots.
And in our first story this evening, we talk about the Concord ruling, where another major setback has been received by the public protector. So the Constitutional Court has found public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane's application for leave to appeal against the scathing rulings given against her by the Gauteng High Court Judge Renee Talmy to have no reasonable prospect of success. According to Business Day, the one-page ruling means Mkhwebane will now need to personally pay 7.5% of legal costs to the DA, of the DA rather, and the Council for the Advancement of the South African Constitution challenge to her report, which was criticized as whitewash. Mkhwebane had argued that Talmy's rulings had unconstitutionally sought to control what she did and did not investigate. The Constitutional Court had effectively rejected her argument.
Retired Justice is going to lead an inquiry into the Gupta assets. The Sunday Times has reported that the retired judge, Mr. Justice Meyer Joffe, is expected to chair a hearing and an inquiry into how almost a billion rands worth of assets, cash, high-value residential and commercial properties, as well as mining equipment, which belonged to the Gupta's island site company, has allegedly vanished. Now, the disappearance of these properties and assets allegedly occurred during at the time that they were in South Africa and through questionable business rescue practices, irregular intercompany loans, property valuations, and other sales agreements.
And now, last legal story for this evening. We continue to unravel South Africa's coronavirus scandals regarding the government spending, etc., whereby the Gauteng Health Department find themselves in a scandal of 500 million PEE. So the latest report by Scorpio's investigation featured in the Daily Maverick has revealed that officials working for the Department of Health in Gauteng place orders for personal protection equipment, that is PPE, and other products related to the fight against COVID-19 at a cost of more than 500 million rand above market-related prices. The investigation further revealed that the office's procurement of products such as face masks, surgical gloves, and hand sanitizer that the department officials ordered a range of items at a cost of 1.2 billion rand, while the same items could have been bought at a cost of, wait for it, only 776 million rand. Your scandalous country, Tepo.
That's almost double the going rate. And that's not the worst of it, Chen. But let's hope that things get revealed and that we can sort this out as soon as possible.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week, Legal Hotspots. Law Focus, handing you your rights.
Welcome back to Law Focus on VAR 88.1. My name is Sap Mahapi, and as you know, I'm always with my part-time crime, the forever bubbly Millicent Nduwin. Now, if you've just joined us on tonight's conversation, we're having a talk with Nogulunga Mgojwa, who is not only a candidate attorney, but also a young mother, a strong-willed woman, and a devoted wife. Now, she's originally from Daveyton in the east of Johannesburg. Nogulunga initially studied human resources management at the Vaal University of Technology before venturing into the legal fraternity, where she pursued an LLB degree at UNISA after feeling some dissatisfaction in the human resources sector.
And tonight we're going to be exploring the world of being a candidate attorney in the legal profession through Nogulunga's eyes. She's affectionately known as Lunga to her close circle, enjoys reading, traveling, cooking, and baking in her spare time. Her unique journey hasn't been easy, as she had to go back to school to further her studies in law at an older age. And in the midst of that, this 33-year-old faced the challenges of being pregnant while serving her articles, of which there is this perception, perhaps more than a perception, it's more of a norm within the legal fraternity that we should avoid being pregnant, or else we risk being axed while being a candidate attorney. And in my experience, I think it really depends on the institution you go to, as well as I think the law firm you're employed at, where these organizations are either blatantly or subtly let you know that do not fall pregnant while you are, you know, completing your articles. And sometimes even until you are actually fully established in the organization, that is when they would say, just listen, contraceptives must be your friend. Well, that's my experience. So back to Nogulunga, all those challenges combined, we're happy to announce that last week was her last time of serving articles, which she started 2 years ago. Good evening, Nogulunga, and well done to you. Congratulations on completing your articles.
But then, unfortunately, I did not pass all of them. I'm still going to write two that I'm left with. I'm writing in November again.
Okay, it sounds like it's very difficult. Let's start by letting the listeners know what a candidate attorney is and what your job entails, because it does not sound like it's easy at all.
Oh, yes, it's not easy at all. So a candidate attorney is someone who already has an LLB degree. So you have to get your LLB degree, and then from there you need to serve 2 years article in a law firm. So in that 2 years, they actually train you what it is that you need to do as a lawyer. And then you also need to write your board exams. It's actually for four exams that you need to write and pass. And then only then you can apply for your admission to be admitted as an attorney.
Now, tell us, why did you study law specifically after completing your qualification in human resources? And do you think your choice was worth it?
The reason why I studied law is because, okay, at first I enrolled for HR. I studied at Vaal University of Technology. I did human resources management there. But after completing my qualification, I felt somehow dissatisfied in a way. I felt like I needed more. There's something that I wanted more than it. I even thought maybe I would study something related to it, like industrial psychology, but I ended up not doing it. I fell in love with law because I had friends who had done law, and the more they talked about it, it interested me. And then from there, I decided that I'm just going to do law. Then I enrolled with UNISA. I started part-time doing law. It was very interesting. Studying it was interesting to be a law student. But then also now when I came into practice, it became a completely different story. I think it was now suddenly not what I had imagined.
I find that so interesting. Suddenly not what you had imagined. I need you to tell us what you had imagined, because that's really interesting.
Okay. I actually imagined it as being a cool profession. Because when you see lawyers, you see people that look very representable. They always look nice, and the words that they use the big words. So I thought, wow, this profession, when you're a lawyer, you are respectable, you have money, yes, money part of it as well, but it's actually not the case. There's a lot of work that happens there. There's just too much work. There's a lot of paperwork that you need to do as a lawyer. You need to be very focused. There's a principal of mine that used to tell me that I must pay attention to everything that I do. And he kept on saying that, and I think I took it with me, because I realized that, well, paying attention will get you where you want to go. You need to pay attention as a candidate attorney and grasp everything that you can for the time that you are with that law firm and under that particular principal.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you had to resign where you used to work before in order for you to complete your articles. Perhaps briefly tell us about that journey. Was it an easy decision to just leave your job? A lot of law firms, unless you get into like those big, big law firms, they don't really pay much. So, what were your fears of walking away from where you have established yourself already to go and do something else where a salary cut is probably one of the things you might have to deal with?
First of all, I did not think twice about resigning, because yes, I was working there, everything was fine, but in my mind, I had this thing that I haven't completed what I'd started. So as much as I'm working, I have a salary, but I need to complete, I need to serve articles and become admitted. That was my dream. That's all I wanted. But the challenge that I had was the financial challenge now, because I had to take a salary cut like probably, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times of what I used to get. And also the fact that I was no longer in my like 20s, I was 31 when I got my articles, and I had to think, how am I going to sustain myself financially? But as for leaving my job, I was okay with it. But then at least I had a strong support structure. Family was behind me that it's okay, it's only going to be 2 years, so just do what you need to do, and that the rest is history.
Right. Now, you started your articles, I think you're about 30 years old when you started your articles. And do you think that starting at that age played a role in your being a candidate attorney? What's the benefit or the drawback of starting? I mean, 30 is not old at all, but some people started right after varsity, others much later. But what was your experience?
It does play a big role, because, you know, when you are 30, you are financially independent. So now suddenly you have to go back. It's sort of like, it feels like a setback, because you know that you're going to be earning a stipend, not a salary, just a stipend to cover your transport. And that's it. And also you look at your peers. Your peers, they are mostly in their mid-20s and I'd say late 20s, but that's where they are. And then also when you're 30, there's just a lot going on. in your life, you are a mother, you are a wife. So when you are in your 20s, you don't have to worry about that. You're doing your articles, and that's the only thing that's happening in your life when you're fresh from varsity. But if you're not fresh from varsity, then there's a lot of things that are happening, and you need to manage everything somehow, which is what happened to me.
Yeah, we have to talk about all those things that happened to you and your experiences. And I'm going to get into now that, you know, what you just started now, transformation. In the legal fraternity, wow, it has been an issue for a really, really, really long time. And I wonder, would you concur with me if I said that the legal fraternity has some kind of prejudice against women in the sense that, you know, the whole pregnancy issue, for instance, you can't fall pregnant until you are done serving your articles, and maybe until after at least 5 years when you're well established within the law firm. What's your take on transformation, gender transformation in particular, in the law firms? Because you're talking about like the legal fraternity specifically. What has your experience been and how would you change it, eh?
I think there is a little bit of transformation. And also maybe it also depends on which firm you are with, you know. I think maybe firms apply different rules. Me, for instance, so when I got my articles, I also found out that I was pregnant. Like, it all happened around the same time. And the first thing that came to my mind was, what's going to happen now? Because I mean, I've been waiting for so long to get articles, and then suddenly now I'm pregnant. How am I even going to tell my future principal that, well, now I'm pregnant? Is he even going to want us to continue with this contract or what? Those are the things that were on my mind, and I didn't know whether I should disclose that I'm pregnant or what. But then I decided that, okay, let me just tell him whatever happens, happens. Then I told him, and I honestly thought he would say, well, I'm sorry, but we can't take you anymore. But funny enough, he was actually understanding. And I think as much as he did not say it, but I think he was somehow scared with you, but he didn't show it to me. He was like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, it was like, that okay. So when I corner, you know, but I did not experience any discrimination whatsoever. I'm not going to lie. And I worked with three young guys. They I think, around same age group as me, but professionally, they already had experience. So it was fine. I'm not gonna lie and say I felt I wasn't prejudiced, but I know that in other law firms, people do experience that kind of discrimination.
So tell us, your experience with your principal was fine in terms of pregnancy, I guess, but with regard to, let's say, the law society and your articles as a contract and all of that, how did you have to deal with that and being pregnant? Was that a difficulty or not?
It was difficult, not going to lie, because as a candidate attorney, you need to give your all and you must be very focused. But me, on the other hand, I think there was just a lot going on. I'm not sure if maybe the focus that I needed there, I was able to give like 100% of it. But I tried to push anyway. I told myself that I'm not going to say, no, I can't do that. I pushed as much as I could. I did all that I could.
And your law society experience, did it have an effect on your articles?
Law society, no, it did not.
Okay. And what about as a mother? What's your advice to other mothers who might be experiencing maybe even worse challenges that you experienced? And perhaps you can tie that nicely with female law students who are looking at being prospective legal practitioners. based on your experience, you know, what advice do you also have for them? So those law students who are yet to go into the field, as well as young mothers who still need to serve either pupillage or articles. Your advice to them?
My advice to them would be that being a female in the legal fraternity is not easy. And also now, being black is another story on its own. So it's as if you've got two burdens on you in a way. You need to prove yourself because you constantly have to prove yourself. So what I'd advise them is that they shouldn't stop doing what they need to do. And they shouldn't take all the negativities that they hear. And because, I mean, being a candidate attorney, you are going to make tea. You are going to be told you are dumb. You are going to be told that you can't phrase sentences nice. You are going to be told so many things that are not nice. Trust me.
But we are abused by these people.
You are abused.
Wait till we talk.
You fetch dry clean. You know, you in the office, you do everything that nobody else wants to do, you know. But I mean, that shouldn't hold you back. And those things, you should just see them as little things because you're just passing there. You're passing, you're going to the next step. So if you're going to focus on all those little things that, no, why me, hi this, I then like, I don't know what you, so what I say is ignore all those and focus on your goal. That's what I, that's how I fight.
And before Stephanie comes into the conversation, you know, it's so beautiful. You survived, indeed you did. Your Law Focus listener, we're speaking to Nogulunga Mgodiwa. She is a candidate attorney who is yet to finish completing her modules for the year so that she can start practicing. And she's sharing with us her very interesting experience. If you don't know what it's like being a candidate attorney, you have to listen because, wow, like, she's getting real. This is, like, so true. How do you feel, you know Women's Month, when it comes, I mean, I feel like women, we should be celebrated every day, but anyway, it's fine, it's another story, because we are completing Women's Month anyway, let's talk about this. And here you are at a law firm, a male-dominated industry with all these men and whatever, and even Ka August, you are still being treated like rubbish, you know, just because you have not acquired the, and I said in inverted commas, credibility or whatever it is of being an attorney. You know, what was your experience about that kind of stuff? And how do we break the patriarchal norms, you know, within the legal industry, again, as women? What is it that we're supposed to do? It's not our duty alone. The men need to play a heck of a lot of role in this regard. But, I mean, what's your opinion about the workplace? How should we break that kind of toxic masculinity and sometimes the labor laws that I think are somewhat really disregarded, despite the fact that we are working for the law and are inside, you know, quotation marks of the law?
First and foremost, you need to stand your ground. When you first come into the field, you soft and all that, but as you go along, then you realize that I need to toughen up. That's what I've experienced. I had toughened up and I've learned that I need to stand my ground and actually express how you feel, what you want, and how you want it to be done. So it's okay to actually talk and say what is it that you want and how do you want it to be done. Because if you don't talk, then you keep on being pushed around. So I'm saying to all the young female CAs, students out there, and even young admitted attorneys as well, push back. You need to push back when there's a need for you to push back.
No, that's true. That's very true. We're going to take a break.
And we'll be right back.
Law Focus, handing you your rights.
Well, Law Focus listener, we asked some of you to share your views on the issue that women are not allowed to fall pregnant while serving their articles as candidate attorneys. Here are your viewpoints.
Hi, I'm Roxanne. I'm from Four Ways. And, you know, regarding the narrative that female campus attorneys aren't allowed to fall pregnant while serving articles, is for me personally, if it's, you know, it's inherently discriminatory. Because one gets asked that question often, or not even asked that question. You're told in no uncertain terms, but with very euphemistic language, that you shouldn't fall pregnant during articles. But it begs the question, is that's foreboding or that warning given to male candidate attorneys in the interviews as well. On that foundational principle alone, I think it's unfair.
My name is Lloyd. I hold the narrative that female candidate attorneys aren't allowed to fall pregnant while servicing their articles is unfair because it suggests that females have lesser rights than their male counterparts. It also suggests that female bodies can be controlled by an employer, and it isn't enough that their maternity leave is unpaid. Now you want to also choose for them when to and when not to get pregnant. It's also against Section 6.1 of the Employment Equity Act, which protects employees and job applicants against discrimination on grounds such as race, gender, sex, and pregnancy.
My name is Bryce Shabangu. I'm from Randburg. Yes, I think it's discrimination and it's unfair because it puts women on a disadvantage compared to their counterparts, only based on something that is natural, which they cannot control themselves. It's more like they're being punished for being women.
Law Focus on Solvang 88.1, point of information.
During your articles, what would you think is the best bit of advice you received?
The best advice that I received was I need to learn to push back and not accept everything that I'm being told, because some people will give you sort of like a go-away answer. And if you accept it, then you'll forever be given that go-away answer. So my first principal taught me that as a black woman, if you do not push back, then people will not take you seriously. And he also taught me that I need to pay attention in everything that I do. So those are the two best advices that I have ever received, and I've applied them, and they actually work.
You've moved, okay, from one. Say your first principle. So you moved from one principle to another principle. What was that experience like? Was it scary? Was it easy? What was it like?
It was very scary because I had gotten used to being at that firm, and I was scared of, you know, when you're scared of the unknown. I didn't know what to expect, because you get all sorts of stories from your peers. They would tell you the treatment they get from their firms. So I didn't want to go into another firm as a candidate attorney because I wasn't sure of the treatment, the environment, and everything that I would have to experience there. So that was my main problem.
Yeah, it sounds like law firms really do have a bad reputation, no lies.
They do, trust me.
They do. Yeah, well, I know. This is an issue we must unravel. Well, it's a lot, hey?
It's a lot. People experience like serious stuff while they're saving their articles. It's very scary. So where I was like, okay, this I can handle. So I was okay.
That's very important, hey, to look after your personal health as well, because the violations that are out there. And still on this topic of different law firms that you have worked for, you obviously acquired different experiences from all the law firms that you've been to. Like, well, at least that's my assumption. You have done eviction cases, you have done administration of estates, just to name a few. And since law firms are obviously different, each of them has its own respective cultures. And again, the assumption here being that where you are now is different to where you were before. And before you joined this current law firm, you are from a male-dominated law firm, and you had your own perceptions about being your own boss. And it seemed like that dream was kind of crushed for some time because of whatever experience that you had. And then you move to an environment that is fully 100% female-based. How has that shift, which I think is an important one, impacted you? And while you're there, perhaps you can also just, you know, tell us about what it's like having a current female boss, and how has she actually influenced you to change your perception of opening your own law firm? And I think that's pretty cool, being in an female-based African law firm. That's amazing.
Oh, yes, that is true. So I first saw my articles in a male-dominated firm. And, well, I was the only female, so I'd say that I did not exactly relate to any of those males that I worked with. They were nice and everything, but, you know, I don't know. I think I actually felt more like an ant in a way. I'm not sure why, but I just didn't feel, I didn't feel confident enough.
Is it like you didn't fit well with them in, you know, in the puzzle? It was not a perfect fit.
I think so. I think it was not a perfect fit, and maybe to some extent, I felt like a lot was expected out of me, and maybe I was not really delivering.
When you now made that shift finally to go to a new law firm, which is a female, fully black and female-owned law firm, how was that experience? How different was it from where you come from, and how has it impacted you, the influences that you gained from that environment?
Okay, so the difference between the two firms was that the first firm was male dominated, and then the second one is female dominated. With the first one, I'd say that I feel like I fit in anything. I felt like maybe I didn't meet up to my expectations. I don't know if it was just me but I felt like, hey, maybe this law thing is just a lot for me. That's how I felt. But then now with the move, it's also different. I think I've actually found a place where I can actually see my strengths as a young CA. I can see where I'm strong at, what is it that I can do, how much I can push. Although at first when I found out that my second principal is actually a woman, I was worried by the fact that, you know, with women, there's always that thing that, hey, you know what, women to women, it doesn't work well. I don't know if you've heard that, but I was actually...
A lot of negative perceptions about women, and I think it stems from our patriarchal society as well. But I really, you know, I think your answer is very interesting. And I'm wondering then, would you say it's very important for a prospective attorney to first of all get into a discipline of law that they really, really do enjoy? So for instance, I shouldn't go and work for a law firm that does medical negligence claims and motor vehicle accidents if I know I don't like delict. and to rather maybe stick to something that I know I'm really, really passionate about, or it's one of those things where you just do whatever you can at that time, you'll see in future whether you get the opportunity to practice what you really, really do enjoy. What's your take on that?
I wouldn't advise that you choose what is it that you want to do. It's better that you actually do everything. Like if you get into a law firm, do whatever it is that they are doing, so that you because this is all about experience. And then in the end, then you can decide which field you want to place yourself in. It's difficult for you to be choosy as a candidate attorney, because for one, you don't really know what is it that you like. Yes, you had favorite subjects at school, but it might happen that when you get in practice, that favorite subject, if you liked family, you don't. Family is not really your thing. You'd rather probably do maybe personal injury, for instance. So I'd say that it really depends. So don't be choosy. Just do what you do what they do in that firm, and then that experience will become very handy for you at a later stage.
Okay, granted.
Now, well, the journey to being an attorney is often a long one. Yours is particularly long because you've had a profession before, and now you're moving to a new profession and having to acquire new skills. Is there anything you would have done differently in your journey to becoming an attorney?
I'm actually happy that things happened the way that they happened, because I think maybe if it had happened differently, then my experiences would be different as well. I feel more confident now, and I've actually experienced so much, which I know that other candidate attorneys did not experience as much as I did. For while, there's one attorney that once told me, I was actually telling him about my worry of moving firms, and he said to me, "It's okay, I see you worried, but you need to understand that your path can never be the same. Your path and the other candidate's path can never be the same. It's all going to be different for all of you." So for me, it was different, it was difficult, and right now I'm actually grateful that I went through all those challenges, because those challenges have created even a stronger woman out of me. So I can say that I can handle anything that comes my way now.
And before we let you go, was that move from one law firm to another, was it an easy one, like the process of it, or was it hard?
You can't be taking leaves. You can't be away. If you are away, you need to pay back that time. So for instance, in my case, when I counted, because I was pregnant, remember? So when I counted all the time that I was away, it all amounted to 60 days. So I had to pay that 60 days back. But other than that, it was fine. I'd say that now I'm settled. I'm looking forward to just finishing up and acquiring all the experience that I'm currently getting.
So that's Nogulunga Mkotwa, who is a candidate attorney, sharing some of her experiences and her challenges in the legal fraternity as a young Black woman. I think as you're listening to that conversation, you can tell that there's a lot of non-transformation within the legal industry. Being pregnant as a candidate attorney, it was difficult because generally it is not acceptable. Having to change law firms during your articles of clerkship can be very disturbing. Having to write your board, and then unfortunately, because life happens, you have to repeat a module or two. It's not easy. It hasn't been easy. And I don't think Nogulunga is the only one who's gone through something like that. There's probably many other women who are listening who have experienced, the same, or might experience the same in future. And I hope this will inspire you who is listening and interested in this industry to keep pursuing your dreams despite the challenges. It's not easy. It's really not easy. Thank you so much, Nokulunga, for joining us, and really all the best with your future endeavors.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed sharing my experience as well. And I hope that someone out there is listening and they can take a thing or two out of my experience and apply it in their experience as well.
100%. Thank you. Awesome.
Tonight's show is proof that although women are still facing many underlying problems, such as discrimination within the legal fraternity, they remain resilient and they have proved really beyond any doubt that they are just as worthy as the male counterparts. I hope you join us again next week for another inspirational and educational hour of Law Focus.
Indeed. I mean, I have a lot to say. Hashtag transform the legal fraternity. But because we are done for the show this evening, I'd like to thank you again for joining us. And to our guest, of course, Nokulunga Mgwadwa, for bracing us with her presence. From our producer, Rithilwe Megwa, and our technical producer, Ugwane Serame from Tepo Mohabi, as well as myself, Millicent Ntiweni. Thank you for tuning into Law Focus tonight. Keep safe and stay blessed.
Good night.
Law Focus on Solvang 88.1, point of information. Law Focus Podcast.